Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting. Good morning. This is Faith Radio Mornings on Faith Radio. Filling in for Peter Kapsner, I'm Paul Perreault with you again today. I'll be with you actually through Wednesday, the plan is, because Peter Kapsner and his family, they're roughing it really hard this Thanksgiving break. Their family, his family, and another decided, hey, we wanted to do this for a while, so yeah, they're roughing it all the way down in Orlando at Disney World. Well, hopefully he's having a good time. We'll try and have a good time, too, as we wind down the week. Maybe it's already kind of wind down. You're taking it easy this morning after such a busy but hopefully a joyful and a thankful Thanksgiving. Well, stay with us over the next 2 hours. Some good information coming your way as we get into the Christmas season. A couple of good interviews this hour. B.J. Thompson joining me in just a few moments from an organization called Build a Better Us. Family and marriage relationships can be challenged during the holiday season, and so he's got some good tips for managing those expectations that you have. Also, Gary Stratton, when it comes to expectations and rituals, you know, we want to make sure as we try and form ourselves spiritually, as we are discipling one another and discipling our families, sometimes, believe it or not, our Christmas traditions and expectations also get in the way. So we'll be talking with him. Then next hour, coming up, of course, with the holidays upon us, a lot of great holiday movies, and it's a Friday, so Adam Holtz will be joining us to give us an update on some of the new movies, including Wreck-It Ralph 2, or what is it called? Ralph Breaks the Internet. Yeah, that's coming up, and more. So stay with us. This is Faith Radio Mornings on Faith Radio. And thanks again for listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault, sitting in for Peter Kapsner on this Friday after Thanksgiving. And we're getting into the Christmas holiday season. And with that, well, family togetherness, people like that. You know, it's the holiday season build is that wonderful time of family and marriage togetherness, all this Better Homes and Garden Pictures and Norman Rockwell. But sometimes it doesn't work out quite that way. And so that's why I wanted to bring in B.J. Thompson from the organization Build a Better Us. B.J., thanks for joining me on this Friday morning.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Oh, you are welcome. So the holiday season, yes, that time of great family togetherness, but oftentimes stressors happen. And I know in your ministry, speaking to marriages and speaking to family issues, what do you see are some of the key stressors that happen during the holidays that people really should be conscious of and intentional to be mindful of?
Well, I guess just the biggest rule, don't talk politics at the table. You may ruin Thanksgiving dinner. So, that's like rule number one. I tell family, do not talk politics at the dinner table. One of the things that I would say, just as families, we can do a better job in, you know, oftentimes the holidays are filled with fun, festivities, and connecting with family. But then the destination is very difficult to determine, you know, whether we're going to go to our parents' house, our aunt's house, or we're going to stay home. And so one tip that I would give families as they prepare for the holidays is that prior to the holidays, you know, typically a month or two out before, decide what you want to do and then communicate it to your in-laws and to your children and to your family. And that way you can cut down on some of it. So, yeah, that's one of my number one tips for families, is decide what you like to do, and then that way you can have a better experience around the holidays as opposed to the stress and strain of confusion.
Well, there you're navigating a lot of what oftentimes are expectations that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Or others have on you.
Yeah.
Well, with that in mind, I mean, how do you, when the expectations are there, you're communicating beforehand. Okay, oftentimes that's going to bring up anger or other issues. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that, though, when the expectations aren't what people you're saying, I want to do this, and the expectation is something else with your in-laws or with uncles and aunts. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, no, you know, one of the things about expectations are birthed out of assumptions. And to break through assumptions, we have to communicate, Paul. So, you know, being able to say, hey, this is what I desire. Have you ever heard the phrase, I read signs, not minds?
No, I haven't heard that
idea. Yeah, see, I just taught you something new, Paul.
There we go. I'll go with that.
Right?
So repeat that phrase again.
Yeah, I read signs, not minds. And it just essentially means that people can't know what it is that you feel or you desire unless you actually communicate it. And so for us, especially in those who are in a marriage or in a blended family, it's extremely important in order to avoid, we can call it expectation confusion or frustration, that we just communicate who we are, what we desire, and then have a discussion with our significant other around what we can do in order to either create compromise or cohesiveness in the holidays. And so what I was saying about communicating that to others, that it first starts with you and your significant other, and then you share that with your children, and then to the in-laws, so that those expectations don't lead to anger, because someone just didn't do what you thought they should do based off of something that you potentially did not communicate. So, yeah, that's one way to diffuse anger that we found with families, especially around the holidays. Yeah.
Okay, what about hustle and bustle, though? I mean, Christmas, the holidays, they get they're insanely busy sometimes because along with all the shopping and then the church functions and then, you know, school functions, you name it, it just explodes. What do you encourage families to do to keep that under control?
Yeah, camp out. Camp out in front of the store. Hey, listen, miss Thanksgiving. Camp out in front of the store. Get all the Blockbusters. Okay, just joking, Paul. Don't camp out in your tent unless it's a family.
We are located. Our headquarters are in the Twin Cities, and you know, some years that works out. Other years, not so much. So
you show up like an icicle. Yeah, that's a funny thing. But no, what I would say is just in order for us to, you know, kind of minimize those things. Like I said, communicating what would you like to do? You know, is it that you want to get up early on Black Friday and go shopping? What is it, you know, would you like to purchase gifts this year? Do you want to do a vacation holiday, right, where instead of us going out and purchasing gifts, we take a vacation instead? I just think that communication is oftentimes the key to managing some of those, that busyness during the season. And then also just freedom, man. You know, I'm a real hectically busy person and often type A and micromanaging things. I think that for those of us who really struggle with controlling a lot, you know, or having to manage a lot, relinquishing control during the holidays. And so maybe your kids want to stay up late into the evening. That's okay. They're on vacation, right? Or your spouse wants to, you know, do something you guys typically don't do, maybe go chop down a tree this year. I think being able to not only communicate expectations beforehand and hopefully as you attempt to plan, but just kind of going with the flow. You know, no one enjoys someone who always finds themselves having to dictate control. So, yeah, I would say also be willing to relinquish power just for the sake of creating a moment and a new experience.
We're talking with BJ Thompson from the organization Build a Better Us, great the marriage and family ministry. And okay, I'll be honest with you, BJ. I've struggled in the area of I work in radio. Won't you know? I struggle in the area of communication, especially with my loved ones. So if there are other people like that, what do you recommend? I mean, if you're talking about communicating expectations, we got this Minnesota Nice thing here going here, and sometimes we're very bad at that. What would you tell us who are communicationally challenged, how to take the steps forward in learning to communicate better and expressing your expectations but also not demanding things?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. The largest component of communication is knowing thyself, right? And it's just the ability to communicate my heart. There's a book I really love. Shout out to Chip Dodd. He is a therapist, psychologist, and he has his work called The Voice of the Heart. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's a really great book. And what he says is that the voice is always speaking, right? And so instead of expressing anger or sadness, that our heart has layers of emotions. And in order to communicate that well, you have to become very familiar with those layers. And so I may be expressing anger, Paul, but it could be beneath that I feel guilty about something. Mm. Or it could be that you said something that created shame. And that's what I want to convey to you. I don't want to convey to you that I'm so angry with you. I want to ultimately communicate to you that you made me feel embarrassed with that statement. I felt belittled. I felt unheard. I felt unloved and unwanted, right? And so, yeah, so I speak full time with marriages and couples, and I travel the world doing it. And Paul, it's still a wrestle. You can ask my wife; she would be like, "Mm-hmm, amen." You're Paul. You have to always work on those skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing that it's something that we have to practice constantly, right? Because we're always evolving and we're always changing. And so, getting a better grasp on our own emotions allows us to begin to communicate that to others in a way that can give us a greater sense of peace and connectedness. So,
Self-knowledge and that. What's the name of that book again?
The Voice of the Heart by Chip Dodd.
Okay, I got to make note of that. Well, we need to take a break. BJ Thompson is our guest here on Faith Radio Mornings. And I actually want to talk about the idea of giving to ministries like BJ, because we are getting towards, we're getting toward on Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. We're going to talk about that here on Faith Radio Mornings in just a bit. This is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Paul Perreault, filling in for Peter Kapsner, who's taking some holiday time off. That gives me a little time to talk with some good friends like B.J. Thompson from the ministry Build a Better Us. Now, B.J., tell us about that ministry, because it has grown a bit in the last few years.
It has. If you visit buildabetterus.com, Build a Better Us started out of my brokenness, not as a business. And Paul, I don't know if you're like me, but I've made so many mistakes. I've made mistakes in my marriage. I make mistakes in my children. I've made mistakes in my profession. And those lessons, I believe, have helped me see that people become healthy not through intuition, but through intentionality.
Mm.
And so Build a Better Us seeks to provide products, services, and experiences to build the well-being of both individuals and couples. Some of the things that we do is life coaching. Some of the things that we do are marriage experiences for couples. I'm preparing, hopefully in the next year or so, to do a tour for individuals to help talk about, bring awareness to spiritual health, emotional health, mental health. And then we also have a couple small groups by which we plant them all over the world. And so, yeah, it's an organization that I lead. I have the honor of serving as the executive director and get to meet some amazing people, Paul, doing it. So, yeah, make sure y'all visit buildabetterus.com and check out some of the stuff that we're doing there. You'll see some videos and lots of great products that we have on our site.
Well, again, BJ, great organization, great website. And as I mentioned earlier, now today, Black Friday, a lot of people talk about as it's the big shopping day of Christmas for businesses, time to get their books in the black instead of in the red.
That's
and then
right.
Tomorrow is Small Business Saturday. Monday is Cyber Monday. And then Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. Now, last year on Giving Tuesday, you, BJ, and several others, I saw this with Justin Gibney in the AND campaign and several others, some minority-led organizations and ministries were saying, hey, they were encouraging us. I'm European American. I'll say that. I was challenged. Say, how about supporting ministries that are getting into the areas of the United States that I probably wouldn't be able to get into? So I thought I'll be part of this giving to minority led ministries, and yours was one. And when you and several others were talking about that in social media, I mean, how much did it generate attention last year?
Oh, tons. It generated tons of attention. I don't think it's an issue people have seriously even considered prior to till we started speaking about it. Absolutely. Tons of attention.
I want to get back to the fact that, you know, I was challenged by it myself, and I want to encourage other people to consider this whole idea of giving to minority-led ministries, because you guys have an access to do ministry that I don't. And I want to stand up and support you in that area. And I was thinking myself that had to do with like what's been happening in the world in missions. And in missions, when you're going into other countries, yeah, it's great to send the non-native missionaries. That's important. That's not to do, but there are people already on the ground. There are many native missionaries, churches, and organizations that are doing things, and the needs are there. And so talk about the needs that you're seeing, some of the ministries that you would love to see supported.
No, that's a great question. You know, part of this idea of minority-led nonprofits or charities versus minority-served, I think that we've seen, our country is so generous. I think over the last 50 years, we've given away trillions of dollars towards charities. And those charities have intended to work among people to bring services like shoes and food and clean drinking water and encouraging messages and Christmas gifts. And I think that it has created a culture of philanthropy among us. But the most challenging thing is that oftentimes there are people who are doing work who don't look like us. And their organizations just fail to meet the stereotype, right? So, you know, you think about a person that fits a certain role. You don't think like, man, this is a minority who works not just in the inner city, right, but who works in politics, who is working and doing good work with families and couples. Oftentimes it's really hard to see because oftentimes we don't have proximity to those people. And so last year we began to bring attention to the idea that it's very important that in many of these organizations that are often under-resourced, it's not because they don't do good work, just because they have lack of exposure, right, that we need to retrain the narrative in order to create a new cohesive network of handholding through philanthropy and through charity, right? And so our organization serves families, couples, and individuals so that we can bring about healthy communities of people, Paul. So that's one organization, a minority-led. There's another organization that I work with, a good friend and colleague with. There's an organization called Jew3, and the director is a black female, and she does amazing work, and they try to bring tools and resources that articulate a clear presentation of the Christian worldview in all spheres of society, whether that be in education, higher education, whether that be at the corner, mark in the market, and just the whatnot. And so I just think being intentional, right? And I think this goes to – I think I can say this, but I should say this. We need more hand-holding across cultures, right? Our world is so divided right now, and it's so heartbreaking to see people choosing tribes over their faith and their moral values. And it's giving a witness to the world that says – You all you need to do is choose the thing that looks more like you, acts more like you, talks more like you, right? But that mindset dishonors your creator. And so what we desire, what I desire, is to handhold with more people, but it's also resource, under-resourced organizations that are typically minority-led that are doing great work in the world. So make sure you check out organizations like buildabetterus.com for Giving Tuesday. Also, Jew3, the Jew3 Project. And there's another organization that at the top of my mind called The Witness, led by a prolific speaker and writer, a guy named Jamar Tisby.
Good guy.
Which is just a few. Absolutely.
You know, one thing I hope people do is if they feel challenged on this, it's not just a matter of, okay, throw a few bucks, but to start building a relationship. You're talking about that hand-holding. It's not just handing off. It's joining hands. It's a way of starting the relationship. And how did you see – did you guys see that happening more with the campaign last year?
You know, typically people will contact me via Twitter, email. I'll meet people on the road as I speak. And I think oftentimes people just research you. They want to know who you are, where you're about. They want to know, do you have, you know, your paperwork in order? And so those are some ways. But, you know, you can check out our podcast. We have the Build a Better Us podcast. Paul, you should check it out if you haven't already. Just to begin to hear kind of some of the work that we do. Also, you can follow me online at BJ116. Follow it with caution, right? I'm not always politically correct, but I love God and I love people. And so there's another way you can kind of stay close to the work. But also, I think it's just getting to know and see some of the testimony videos. And so if you follow some of my stuff, you just get to see people reacting, saying, and this is encouraging about this organization. I've come into contact with it. But I think it is very important that we look for quality work. We're not just looking just to give someone something, but we want to support and encourage good work in the world. So those are just a few ways you can follow what we're doing. But again, there may be some local organizations, maybe a parachurch church organization there in your hometown. I would say be intentional. Have coffee, but don't have coffee with the intent of interrogating. Have coffee with the intent of investigating so that you can then come alongside and potentially support some needs in those areas.
Sounds like a great idea. Hey, BJ, we've run out of time, but thank you again for joining us on Faith Radio Mornings. Have a happy, happy Merry
thank
Christmas.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Make sure you don't camp out too long. Turn to an icicle.
we'll do that. Good morning. This is Faith Radio Mornings. For this day after Thanksgiving, I'm Paul Perreault. Hopefully, you and your family had a great time yesterday celebrating. But are there leftovers in the fridge? Lots of leftovers in the fridge? It's a good thing we live in the internet age. I actually thought, I wonder what I could find on Google. It didn't take long. Actually, I typed in what to do with Thanksgiving turkey leftovers. That's a pretty common search this morning. And the first thing that came up that I saw was a website called tasteofhome.com. And one of the authors there, his name is Jason Novak, and he has the top 10 turkey leftovers list, things such as gobbler cakes, kind of like crab cakes, but they're made with turkey, cranberry, and stuffing. Yeah, there's that stuff, turkey shells, and so much more. So there's an idea for what to do with all those leftovers. Faith Radio Mornings continues in a moment. Good morning, and thanks again for listening to Faith Radio Mornings on this day after Thanksgiving. I'm Paul Perreault. Maybe yesterday as you were relaxing, you had the TV on and the news came on, and you saw about the tragedies going on in California with the wildfires and wondering, what can we do? Well, back on Tuesday, I had a chance to talk with Jeff Nini from Convoy of Hope. They're on the ground now.
Well, we serve really kind of a niche in disaster response efforts. What we really focus on, especially in the early days, is getting product, getting resources into the hands of people that need it. Things like food, water, in the case of the campfire, masks, those white masks that you see people wear are critical when you're in that smoke environment. But food, water, hygiene products, different things like that that people need immediately in those days following a serious disaster. And so what we do is we'll go in with those products, like in the case of the campfire, we're basing out of Chico, and we're working with local churches all across that area by resourcing them and then allowing them to set up distribution sites on their parking lot to pass out products like these to people that need it.
Now, if you'd like to help out Convoy of Hope, their website is convoyofhope.org. And also, you can hear the full interview that I did. It was on Tuesday's show. Go to myfaithradio.com and just look for the Tuesday podcast of Faith Radio Mornings.
Without walking in truth, there can be no blessing. This is Jim Garlow. Relativism has crept into the lives of many Christians. Worse yet, even whole denominations have left biblical principles and are becoming convinced out of biblical truth. Because many have forsaken the counsel of the Lord, it has become harder and harder to distinguish between the church and the secular world. In the process, the chance for a blessed life disappears. The Bible spells it out clearly. There is no blessing for those who seek the counsel of the wicked. So how can you know whose counsel to seek? Just look at their relationship to the Scriptures. Does what they assert align with biblical truth? Do they love what God's Word actually says or what they want it to say? There's no room for compromise on truth. Stand firm and you'll find blessing. I'm Jim Garlow.
Thanks again for listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and that music that you hear there is ushering in Gary Stratton, who is a professor and the dean of the School of Arts and Sciences at Johnson University, plus a professor of spiritual formation, if I remember right. Is that correct, Gary?
That is right.
So, and last week when you were with Peter, here it is, it was before Thanksgiving, and you guys were talking about materialism in the holiday season and dealing with that issue. Here it is, Black Friday, and, you know, materialism gone amok. But we're not going to talk materialism today, because that's not, in my mind, and maybe in yours too, one of the major hindrances during the holiday season to really using it as a time for spiritual formation. And with that in mind, and that since you are the professor of spiritual formation, or a professor, I should say, what is spiritual formation? It's a phrase that has been bandied about more lately, but maybe a lot of people have an unclear idea. What is that?
Well, you know, it's just, we used to have fancier words for it. We used to call it discipleship or other things, but people started thinking about discipleship as a particular thing that one person did to another. Or I think the emphasis on spiritual formation is, what are some practices that you can do individually, or that you can do in partnership or community with others, that could help us connect with the Lord in a deeper way. It's kind of that John 15, how do I abide in the vine? Like, how do I actually hang on so his life is flowing through me and I'm actually bearing fruit?
Okay, and so at the holidays, you think, oh, that's easy. You know, you're going to church. You got all these different things you're doing. Maybe your church does the Advent calendar, but I'm kind of going, sometimes wrongly used, can't traditions, rituals, and even expectations get in the way?
Oh, absolutely. It is so easy to become incredibly anxious in the holidays. If anxiety is fear of the future, fear of not being in control of outcomes, oh my gosh, there's so much going on. Is the turkey going to be dry? Are the two sisters going to get along? Are they going to have Armageddon at the dining room table? I mean, just so many things to worry about. And of course, when it comes to gift giving, we're just filled with anxiety deliberately. Like, people who make commercials are trying to fill us with anxiety that we won't get the right thing, because fearful people are more open to impulse buying.
You know, it's kind of funny. You mentioned that thing about gift giving, and this was a few years ago. I forget which store was doing it. I think it was Best Buy. But they were doing all these give the gift of, and then the next word was spiritual words. They had give the gift of joy, give the gift of awe. And it's like, really? 55-inch flat-screen TV is awe?
Shock and awe, shock and awe.
I just found that so weird that they're using spiritual words but different meaning.
No, I mean, sadly, it's so easy to take these beautiful things that humanity has always seen across all cultures and all times. It's not a uniquely Christian or Judeo-Christian thing. Really, there's something deeper underneath in the world that binds us together, that beauty and truth and camaraderie and collaboration are important things to have with one another. And it's easy to cheapen those. And yet, there is something about the Christmas season that is trying to bring those things about. And so I think the best thing to do is to lean into it.
How do you explain leaning into it, though? I mean, should we lean into those, Gary?
Well, okay. So, I mean, simple things like I think it's finding some practices, things that work to us to get in touch with what the real meaning of life and the real meaning of the season is. There's no other place you can go out in public in our culture anymore and you can hear Christmas songs or Christian songs, unless you're in Chick-fil-A, I guess. But and there's this opportunity to turn it into a spiritual discipline. That we often beat ourselves up with that Matthew 16, like, do not worry, when it really just means, Jesus is really just saying, you don't have to worry. So I don't have to worry because God loves my daughter, my son, my grandchild, my friend, my wife, my girlfriend more than I do. He knows what they need and what would be an especially meaningful expression of my love for them. So I can ask him, Lord, grant me wisdom to see it. Lord, grant me the favor to find it, to invite Jesus into that shopping process instead of like trying to push him out.
So you're saying don't go the, okay, I can't figure it out, let's just do the gift card route.
Well, I mean, sometimes the gift card is the only, it's the, yes, sometimes that is what it is, but I don't think it has to be. I think God can lead us to doing some really cool things for people. Sometimes it is, they really need something and, or there's something to be really meaningful to this grandchild or this friend. But sometimes it's really just the expression of your relationship. So, I mean, we started doing crazy things in my family, like, I remember the first year we started giving goats and chickens, like, you know, you give a goat or a chicken to a third world family, you know, in the name of this person. Mm-hmm. And it, like, it's become a really fun thing, or creating a gift. I still wear my daughter-in-law, when she was my fiance, made me this wonderful wool cap. It's the best thing I've ever had in my life. I still wear it all the time. And it makes me think of her every time. And she felt so embarrassed that that's all she could afford to give me. But it's like one of the most meaningful things I have. Or my son started doing this thing. He works in Fargo for Microsoft. He started giving investments. He's like, hey, I'm not going to just – no, it was brilliant. Like, oh, think about this. The first time he did it, he said, I don't want to just spend $100 on you, so I just bought $100 in Bitcoin for you. Well, you know what? That is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it does.
Really thought, I've never had a Christmas gift that's more valuable every year than it was when I got it. So just to think those things through.
Yeah, you're hoping to retire on that Bitcoin, by the way.
Yeah, you never know. I'll be getting it to me earlier, darn it.
We're talking with Gary Stratton. We're going to take a break here, but when we get back, we're going to talk continually about spiritual formation during the holidays and, you know, not letting the pressures of the holidays get in the way of really developing your relationship with God. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Paul Perreault sitting in for Peter Kapsner. Stay with us. And again, thanks for tuning in this Black Friday morning to Faith Radio Mornings on listener-supported Faith Radio. I'm Paul Perreault, sitting in for Peter Kapsner. And Gary Stratton from Johnson University, a professor of spiritual formation, joining us. And, you know, we're getting into the holiday season, Gary, and again, the expectations are there. And, you know, sometimes expectations can't be met for a variety of reasons. Maybe one of those expectations is your family's together, but maybe through divorce or maybe because relocation, deployment or whatever, you know, that I'll be home for Christmas ain't happening. And there's just that emptiness. And it's funny to me because doesn't the narrative of the gospel speak to that?
No, it really does. It's so funny. We tend to always locate ourselves in narratives in the way that is most comfortable and convenient to us. And we often don't locate ourselves in the narrative to see what it was like for this teenage girl to be cast out from her family because she's actually done nothing wrong. She's been impregnated by God, risking losing her fiancé, the trouble in Zechariah and Elizabeth's family and his losing his voice because of his not being willing to trust God in the way Mary had, the children that were slaughtered in the end of the narrative because of Herod's wickedness. It's not a beautiful, it's a beautiful story, but it's not this Currier and Ives, beautiful snow-covered sleigh idea, that it's about a people who are broken and oppressed. To read Mary's Magnificat that she expresses when the Spirit of God comes upon her when she first meets Elizabeth. And it's all about how God's stepping in and helping the lonely and the oppressed and the broken. That's God's with us most closely when we're in that hurting place than when we're in this empowered place of giving at Christmas.
You know, I found going through that narrative some years ago during some personal struggles, and it's amazing. It's almost like every different player, if you wish, in the narrative has their own brokenness that they're bringing into it, and yet God is meeting them.
No, I mean, and we don't always see those things in the narrative in the way that they are, the way they would be today. You know, the shepherds were despised and outcasts and facing all sorts of, you know, injustices. You know, they would have had Shepherd Lives Matter t-shirts on. And that, I mean, and we need to be willing to locate ourselves in the places of the narrative that we don't normally think of when we're rich and empowered. I mean, the only really rich and empowered person in this narrative is Herod, and I really don't want to be like him.
No, actually, the one that really freaks me out is the priests, who remember Herod calls these priests because the wise men come, and okay, where's the Christ child? And he's panicking. He's kind of going, something's a threat to me. And so he brings the priests in, and the priests are, oh yeah, we know where he's supposed to be born. There's no story of them ever going.
I know. It's frightening to see how they knew the right thing and yet they weren't willing to follow through on it because of the risk of displeasing the person in power.
Do you have any recommendations for people who want to, you know, in the midst of maybe they're going through that hard time and wanting to find hope and draw closer to God in this, any good resources you can think of or ways of looking at Scripture during that time to help them? Because you're right, the narrative, sometimes we have this narrative, we have the courier knives, we have the nice little pretty looking precious moments crash on the shelf there during Christmas, and it's all pretty and everything, but it wasn't that way. Help people delve into it.
Well, I think reading the Christmas story with fresh eyes and talking about it with people who are wrestling with it or journaling about it to try to deliberately locate myself. What if I had been this person? What were they experiencing? How is this similar to me? And sometimes there's just gleams of grace that comes through that in really dark times.
Okay. What about any other things you think people should do during the holidays?
No, well, I'm a big fan of doing prayer pauses. Like, you know, if you're out on Black Friday right now, waiting for the next store to open or counting your pennies before you go to follow this circular into the next store. I like putting a post-it note like on the speedometer of my car. And seasons like that, where I literally, and put on that post-it note, just pause and just press it literally like a pause button and just take 60 seconds to say, Lord, thank you that I'm here with you. Thank you that you care about me. Thanks you care about these things that I'm even trying to get for people that I love. And then a big one is the mark of spiritual maturity is the willingness to love people when it's not in our own best interest to do so. So that most of the things we do at Christmas often end up being, it's really we're kind of giving and getting. It's not necessarily purely in the other person's interest. So to do things like holding a door for another shopper who's trying to beat you into the store, being a servant and taking the farthest parking space away. I'm not mothers with young kids, but I mean, you're young, you can take care of it. To take the farthest spot instead of hunting for that closest spot. To treat employees with an extra measure of kindness and gratitude and to see when they're pretty worn out and to interact with them as human beings, not as pawns. I mean, those are the kind of things we can do to really make the Christmas season the way it would be if Jesus was walking around in us.
Okay, so you're really actually asking God, inviting God into basically everything you're doing during the holidays.
Yeah. And to find ways that you can invade the Christmas, have the Christmas narrative invade fresh new places. My family my extended family was, Christmas was a big deal. My family my parents had grown up, very poor. So giving gifts was a huge deal. Having you couldn't see the floor in the family room on Christmas morning. I mean, that was the goal. We called it mega Christmas carnage. But, just praying, how could we do something like this? And I just got this brainstorm while I was teaching. I was making my students do a worship arts project. Well, maybe I could do one. My mom loves Christmas carols. What if I just took the Christmas story, broke it up into 15 parts because we had 15 members of our family, and gave each one a part and just put some hymns in between, some Christmas carols in between it, and we just did it together? It just brought the very presence of God into the room.
Wow.
We've done it every year since. So you just never know. I was so terrified no one would go with it, but they went with it and they loved it. So we need to do that all the time. And now even when I'm not with my extended family, I'll get an email from my brother and my sister saying, send me that Christmas story. We got to do that.
So you kind of knew your family and you worked with them, but you created something new, I won't say ritual, but yeah, I guess it is a tradition that is meaningful.
Yeah, and we've had to tweak it. When the kids were young and my mom loved to play the piano, then it really worked to do the Christmas carols. And then as my mom's mental acuity began to diminish and the kids got older, that became kind of lame. So we just read the Christmas story, maybe sang Silent Night at the end and lit a candle. But it's not cheesy. People love it at that point. So yeah, just to find some way to make it work into your family's life.
All right. Well, Gary Stratton has been our guest this segment. Thanks again for joining us, Gary, on Faith Radio Mornings. And you have a happy Advent season coming up.
Yes. And a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Faith Radio Mornings continue shortly. So stay with us.
Well, this is Faith Radio Mornings. Good morning. Thanks for joining us the day after Thanksgiving. I'm Paul Perreault. 1 hour down, another coming up. As a matter of fact, well, maybe you're thinking, we got the family together, got some time off, got the shopping all done, all the Black Friday stuff. We did that last night or maybe online. Let's go to the movies. What's up with that new Wreck-It Ralph movie? Well, Adam Holtz from Plugged In will be joining us in just a few minutes here on Faith Radio to give us the lowdown on that and some other great movies. Plus, Chris Martin joining us. You know, he used to call himself the Millennial Evangelical. Oh, he's still a millennial. He's still that evangelical. But, you know, evangelical millennials have... Well, the way they celebrate Christmas is different from a lot of the older generations. We're going to be looking at that. Well, maybe you're new to Faith Radio, listening with family and friends this morning and wondering, hey, what's Faith Radio all about? Well, go to myfaithradio.com. You have a welcome packet you can request. It's free. You can learn more about us. Plus, maybe you're not from one of our regular listening areas, not a problem. You can listen to Faith Radio online at myfaithradio.com, or even easier, download onto your cell phone the Faith Radio app. It's available for free at the Google Play or Apple iStore. And you can download it and enjoy Faith Radio wherever you go, even listen to podcasts of shows like this and many others to uplift you and help you connect faith to life. More to come on Faith Radio Morning, so do stay with us. Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.